First chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.'" From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. It was probably about 10 years ago, while I was serving at First Lutheran Church in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and I poked my head into the weekly pastor's text study. Now, I was not ordained at the time and didn't preach on a regular basis, but I did want to say hello to my colleagues. And they were talking about the phrase, child of God, and how it was used both by us as the church, but also in Scripture. And I was intrigued, and so I entered into the conversation and began what became an ongoing conversation with one of them, the Reverend, now retired, Paul Finger, a unique voice, and one that I miss in our text studies now. Paul's basic stance was that all people are children of God and therefore are part of God's family. However, not all people enjoy the full benefits of being God's children, which are first celebrated in baptism. Well, I wondered about that. If you look at the rite of baptism, and when we use that language of child of God, it's only used once. And it's at the anointing of the child who has just been baptized in the name of the triune God and child of God. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. It is only then, after the baptism, that child of God is used. And so, leaving my colleagues to their conversation, I returned to my office and I began to search Scripture, caught up now by this question: how does the Bible use that phrase? How did our ancestors of the faith understand it? Now, interestingly enough, I could find no instances in Scripture of child of God, but I could find quite few of children of God. Now, isn't that interesting? That Scripture uses the corporate understanding rather than an individual one. And most of these instances of children of God are found in the letters of the Apostle Paul, particularly the one to the Romans. Now, when you look at passages in both the Hebrew Bible, often labeled the Old Testament, and the New Testament, you find that aside from a couple of instances that are kind of ambiguous as to their meaning, most of the text seem to indicate that it is those who believe in Christ, who have faith, who are currently in the church, who are called children of God. This text in John 1:12, along with Galatians 3:26, Romans 8:14, most strongly support that kind of understanding. That before Christ and faith in Christ, we were not or are not capable of being children of God. And so if you tie the certainty of that gift of faith to baptism, then certainly you could say prior to baptism, one would not be referred to as children of God. Now, ultimately, Paul and I left our conversation at this. We agreed in principle that there's something different in our relationship with God after the gift of faith. And whether this is given to us through baptism after the Spirit moves in us, or in the relationship that Jews have with God, the language in the Hebrew Bible speaks about children of God, and it clearly refers to the chosen people of Israel there. Now, as for myself, and you may have heard this in the language that I use, I still reserve the term child of God or children of God for those who are in that faith relationship with God, as that seems to be the context in which Scripture uses it most. And the way I make the distinction is I tend to say all of us are created in the image of God, but that it is believers who are called children of God. Now, God is in relationship with, related to, both as Creator, but to the faithful as Abba, Father. And there's part of me that wonders if that is the core of the difference, this relationship in the sense of it, whether it exists on God's end or ours. Now, you may be wondering, okay, what's the point of all of this? Isn't it just words, semantics, kind of tomato, tomato, potato, potato? But I don't think so. From the beginning, people have recognized that this encounter with Jesus changes them and their relationship with God. Even believers who were Jews recognized this. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, talks about how God has destined us, believers, for adoption as God's children through Jesus Christ, through grace freely bestowed on us in Jesus. Now, take note of the language that he uses. It is in, through, because of Jesus that these things are possible for us. And so it is only in the encounter with Jesus that this changed relationship can happen. So what's the point of this whole exchange between my friend Paul and myself? God does care for, does love all those who are created in God's image, all human beings. Now, could you label that care and that love as the same as a parent has for a child? Absolutely, you could. But again, from the beginning, there has been an acknowledgement that the relationship of God to those who believe in and through Jesus Christ is different. And that difference is a two-way street. As with the Jews, the covenant relationship with God brings with it both privileges and responsibilities. Now, we'll talk more about baptism next week, particularly our Lutheran take on it, as we celebrate the baptism of our Lord Jesus. But this week, and in the Gospel of John in particular, it sets up this point. Jesus, the light of the world, has given to all who receive him, who believe in his name, the power to become children of God. And these children were not born by blood or by our will, but by God's will. Paul echoes this when he says, we are destined for adoption through Jesus Christ, God's own Son. It is God's will, God's desire, that we should all become God's children, that we should all have this encounter with Jesus that changes everything for us. And if you have not been baptized, if you have not received that grace upon grace, literally been had God's grace poured down on you, then contact me. I'm more than happy to talk with you about how that can happen for you. As God's children, we have received a great gift. A great privilege has been given to us, undeserved and unearned, so that. Did you catch that language in Paul's letter to the Ephesians? So that. We have been adopted. We have received these things so that, for a purpose, to live to the praise of His glory. To live to the praise and glory of God in everything that we say and do. Or, as our baptismal and confirmation promises put it, to proclaim the good news of God in Jesus Christ through word and deed. We've been given a great gift of becoming God's children, and with that comes great responsibility. For just as I go forth, and every action and word that I speak and take reflects on my parents and on the whole of the Middlesworth clan, so those of us who have been adopted by God through Jesus Christ reflect on our Heavenly Father as we go forth and speak and act, particularly as we do so in the name of Jesus, as we literally bear the name Christian. Do our lives reflect the love of God as shown to us in Jesus Christ? Love that is freely and unreservedly and undeservedly given. Love that is infinitely patient, that sees the perfection within the imperfection of others. Love that is self-sacrificial, even in the face of ingratitude, incomprehension, or even active resistance. Do we reflect in some small way the light of Christ into the darkness of another person's life? Offering a kind word, a helping hand, a comforting shoulder. Working to provide the daily bread of food, shelter, clothing, comfort. Speaking words that lift up, not tear down. Sitting with people in their darkest times so that they might know they are not alone. This wonderful Christmas gift that we have been given, being given the power to become children of God, is not some precious trinket that we place up on a shelf and look at every once in a while. Rather, it's a gift to be used daily. Kind of like that oh-so-special shirt or outfit that you really wanted for your birthday or for Christmas, and when you get it, you wear it all the time, even if it's not really appropriate for the moment. What that gift of Jesus Christ to us is like. Something to be worn and used daily. Siblings in Christ, we have come out of a difficult year. And we enter into a new one that holds challenges that we can see and many that we cannot. But let us go into this new year with this daily reminder on our lips. I am God's child. deserving of love and respect, and God will use me to change the world. Say that with me. I am God's child, deserving of love and respect, and God will use me to change the world. One more time. I am God's child, deserving of love and respect, and God will use me to change the world. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, Word of God made flesh, visible sign of God's love for you, came into the world so that you might become, so that you might have life fuller and more abundant. God's child, deserving of love and respect. In the year 2021, God will send you to change the world. One small act of love, of kindness, of patience at a time. Thanks be to God. I invite us to stand as we sing our hymn of the day to this love sent to us.